How's it going, everyone? We are back at it after a short layover here with Beardy Radio. As always, I'm your host. My name is Brad.
And this is Steven. This is Chris. Steven's here running around setting his hair on fire, but he's probably not going to be on this. He's probably not going to be heard on this episode.
Yeah. But we actually are at a really fun location to kind of make up for it. We are at Brew Cakes, and we're sitting down with the brother and sister tandem of Sarah and CJ. Hi, say hi, guys.
Hello. How's it going, guys?
Hey, everybody.
And for those who are not familiar, Brew Cakes is in Redlands, California. It is known as a dessert gastropub. So for those who might not be familiar with what a dessert gastropub is, why don't you guys tell them?
Basically, we started calling it a dessert gastropub because we do a 2-to-1 ratio of desserts to food. Everything on our menu, all the way down to our salad dressings, is made with beer, wine, or alcohol in some way. Right? Even though it does cook off in the cooking process, it lets us do a lot of stuff, fun stuff with flavors, things like that. But we wanted to do better justice to the food side, so that would, the best way to describe it was gastropub, but it was desserts. So we started calling it that. We're about 2 months out on our beer and wine license now, so we'll start being able to serve beer and wine with all the food we make.
And nice. We even put this fun definition on the back of our t-shirts.
I think I've actually seen that. That's actually pretty cool. I like that.
Oh, she's turning around. What does it say?
Dessert gastropub definition and then a dessert gastropub. So that's really cool. And honestly, I've in all my experience in the beer industry, I've not seen anything else like that. Obviously, you see recipes online pop up every now and then for beer-infused foods and desserts and stuff. But to have a place that actually specializes in that, it's a pretty cool avenue for people in this area to kind of come and get a different idea of what beer and wine can do to food. What was the start? Like, when did you guys start doing this? How did your guys' affiliation with this industry start exactly?
Funny you should mention that. My grandmother was from the South, and she baked and cooked everything with alcohol. So we took that concept and ran with it. CJ and I always grew up cooking together. His strong suit was cooking. My strong suit was baking. So I refined the recipes. He really likes coming up with the concepts. We do have a chef that is phenomenal, and she is just really great at what she does. But we definitely have a lot of fun in the kitchen as well.
Cool. You guys, if I'm not mistaken, you guys were called something else before Brew Cakes, right? Was it Kiddo's Bakery?
Yes, we were Kiddo's Bakery. Kiddo was my nickname growing up. CJ gave that to me. We were a traditional bakery and cafe. We had lattes, bagels, muffins, things like that. But this was the original plan the whole time. That was more of a transition phase.
And you guys have always been in this location, right? Or was there another one?
Yes, we have.
Okay. Cool. And when did Brew Cakes officially open?
I believe it was November of last year.
That's when we made the name change. Mm-hmm. We've been open since August of 2011. And kind of what happened is that was our product line, basically. We got invited to a beer festival in our first 6 months, and we didn't want to go out there as Kiddo's, so we went out there as Brew Cakes, took some of the desserts we had made. People liked the idea. We got invited to 5 more, got to where all our catering was being done under Brew Cakes. So at our 1-year marks, we changed the name over and started planning the remodel to have the shop be the physical Brew Cakes location, not just the catering side.
That's cool. So, when you guys, obviously you guys had mentioned that the idea was always to do craft beer infused cupcakes. So that was something that literally came down from your guys' family history of cooking and baking. You guys have always wanted to do that. That's pretty interesting. I like that. Kind of give everybody, like our audience, kind of give us a rundown of kind of what they can expect here food and dessert wise. Like, what are some of your more popular dishes that you guys do?
On our food side, kind of in sticking with our theme, everything is made with it. We wanted it made with beer, wine, or alcohol in some way. Many people have all had meats that have been slow cooked in alcohols where it breaks down the fatty tissues, helps really tenderize them. In sticking with that, we have our beef. It's just cooked in a red ale and brown sugar for about 8 hours. It pulls in a lot of that kind of richer, sugary flavor from the brown sugar, and it just falls apart, so it's really tender. We use that in our sliders. We have our menus kind of broken down to salads, flatbreads, and sliders. Everything on the menu is meant to be mix and match, just because, like with everything else with food, we like being able to try everything. We don't like getting stuck with just one large portion. So it allows you to kind of build your meal around what you're drinking, what else you might be eating. And we have try to have the meals portioned so that you can end up getting both food and dessert and then have a beer too and still actually have room for all of those.
Cool. I gotta say, those sliders are fantastic, man.
Yeah,
I really enjoy the heck out of those.
we were fortunate enough to have you guys at our first anniversary event at Inland Empire Brewing, and you guys were serving some sandwiches. I think there was like a pulled pork sandwich with some slaw on it. Mm-hmm. That's what stood out to me. I think that was phenomenal. I loved that sandwich. After looking over your guys' menu, like you said, you do flatbreads and sliders and stuff. I think it's a really very complimentary dish to being able to have beer. And as you said, you guys are going to be doing that in a few months. What are you guys going to showcase in terms of craft beer? Are you guys going to have, how many taps would you imagine? Or are you guys doing bottles exclusively? Or how's that going
to
work?
We're actually putting in up to 10 taps. We may not have them all, have beer on all of them right away, but we're putting in 10 taps. We're converting our walk-in freezer to our keg room, so we'll have plenty of space for reserve kegs. And we're going to have about a 90-inch bottle fridge. We want to have about 20 bottles is what our goal is, to have between 10 on tap and 20 in a bottle, because we really want to be able to bring in a lot of the great beers that are produced in California, and that's our main focus initially is Californian beers, a lot of local stuff, and being able to kind of focus on them specifically.
That's one of my next questions was, what kind of beers really are you guys going to stick to, mostly local stuff initially, or is that going to remain the long-term focus? Because you guys already work with some of the local breweries in the area to use the beer for your food, is that right?
Right. We work with a lot of local breweries in Redlands now. We've got three. We'll have four here shortly. A lot in the Inland Empire, there's a lot of them now. We do a lot of work with Ritual Brewing. We get down to San Diego sometimes. We're out in Orange County a lot as well. We want to focus and still highlight plenty of the local beers. We do want to make sure and bring in beers that you don't always get in Redlands. A lot of the people, like our friends over at Noble Ale Works, we're not part of the traditional distribution network, but we're on the same event circuit that they are, so that we're going to be able to bring in some beers to Redlands you can't get everywhere else down the street.
That would be awesome, because Noble Ale Works does some fantastic stuff. I got a chance to go down there recently before an Angel game. Really good. I missed out on the Naughty Sauce, unfortunately.
Oh, that one's my favorite.
I hear the just amazing things about that beer, and I was very disappointed that they did not have it the one time I went.
Kind of hard to go wrong with a beer called Naughty Sauce, though, right?
Right, that's true.
Before we get into anything else, Chris, do you have a few questions you want to answer, or you want to ask?
Well, sticking with the local brewery theme, I guess. And what are some of your favorite local breweries around here? Like, which ones do you enjoy working with?
That's a long list, but pretty much Packing House. They were one of our first supporters. We've been with them. Ritual, ever since they opened, we do a lot with them.
And you're at Ritual every other Friday, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We serve up our sliders and desserts every other Friday with them, so that's very consistent that we're at theirs. All of Packing House events we're at. We were just at Bootleggers for their anniversary just a couple months back, so that was a lot of fun too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Are there any breweries that are more difficult to work with? I'm going to ask the hard-hitting questions, man.
There are that was a little leery, I guess you could say, of our concept, that maybe just wanted a little bit more broader a demographic than what we were looking to give, than just focused on Southern California, so they pursued other vendors.
Okay.
That, and a lot of times when we were brand new, people wanted to kind of see how we did, you know, before working with us more. Some were more kind of enthusiastic about starting out right away. And now that we've been around long enough, we're starting to be right. When we used to have to chase after events and kind of get ourselves, you know, asked to go to these places.
Right.
And now we've been around long enough where enough breweries have worked with us that's kind of given us, you know, enough people have tried our food that we get phone calls inviting us out to the various breweries.
Mm-hmm. I think that really, yeah, I was about to say, I would anticipate that the result had transformed drastically. I think people are probably calling you guys now to get, because they see what you guys are doing here. And obviously with the great food and the great desserts, I mean, it's really too, I would think, about the, you know, having the best intentions and being able to market yourselves properly and make great food, which it seems to me you guys do very well.
Oh yeah, we're snacking on some of the desserts right now. What are we eating again?
Right now, that's our blondie brownie, and then we have candied bacon and a beer glaze on top.
So freaking good.
Yeah, that's we right now we're drinking. It's actually funny, we've been talking about Ritual. We're actually sampling Ritual's Fat Hog. And it's paired so very nicely with this brownie. You said it's called the Blondie Brownie?
Blondie Brownie, mm-hmm.
What else, what's all goes into the brownie?
Well, let's see here.
Without giving away too much of a secret recipe.
Yeah, that's why I was like, okay, let me calculate this recipe here. Well, it is a more of a traditional brownie base, but you leave out the cocoa, so that's how you get the blonde. You add some beer in it. We were like using a lot of Belgians because that flavor comes through nicely. It's still powerful enough that you get the taste of beer, but it's not overpowering. So that's why those flavors complement nicely with the beer.
That's, yeah, that's a great, great complimentary to this Fat Hog.
And you guys, in fact, bacon.
I think that's one of the first things you guys said. You said try the Fat Hog with that brownie, and mm-hmm. it really goes very nicely with that.
We also do a cherry sangria pie that goes very nicely with the Fat Hog. Oh. Unfortunately, we don't have that at the moment, but another time we will do that.
Yeah, so
give us a reason to come back.
Yeah, for those, yeah, and not only that, but for those of you listening, you guys can kind of get an idea of the caloric destruction that's going to happen when you get here. But man, this is some great stuff. It's just hard not to eat it.
I've never seen a calorie in my life, so I don't count the bastards.
Yeah, probably. Nice. You know what? That's probably a good way of looking. I've never seen one either. And you know what, man? It's definitely delicious. What else? You got a macaroon right there.
What is
too?
This I'm chowing on now?
Sure. This one is a spiced rum coconut macaroon. So this one's nice and simple. So you're not gonna get too many notes. It's going to be a direct flavor. You know what you're trying. It's not going to be too many things that are playing off with it. It's going to be direct forward. So that's
very good.
You're going
coconut.
To have the coconut and the spiced rum.
I apologize ahead of time if you hear me chewing and like going and all this good stuff. There's a reason for that.
That's the reaction I like.
It's just from the food, we promise.
We're really eating, I swear.
We're at a dessert gastropub. It'd be a disservice if we didn't try the food.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, we brought a couple beers. Obviously, we're sampling the Fat Hog. Well, we also brought, Chris brought Russ Dollar Founders Blend.
Correct. That's called a Founders Blend. I'd never heard of this brewery before until I saw the bottle. I did a little bit of research, and apparently they're two flagship beers. One is a red. I forget what it's called. I should have done better research. And the other one is Black IPA. Well, this beer is a perfect blend of those two styles, and it actually works quite well. It's very smooth, very easy to drink beer, and nice. It's pairing well with these desserts.
It's actually pretty good. Like I said, we got the Fat Hog, and also we brought another Bay Area beer. We've got Speakeasy's Scarface Barrel Aged Imperial Stout.
Can't wait to get in that one.
That's gonna go very well with some of these.
These are our cake truffles. We have a chocolate stout with coconut. We also have a Bananas Foster, and then the last one is an Amaretto.
Oh, man. I'm just staring at him. Come to my mouth.
Dig in.
Can we open the Scarface now?
Yes, we can.
Go for it.
Okay. So what do you guys want? What do you want to pair with this one first? We just cracked the Scarface, Speakeasy Scarface Barrel-Aged Stout. You've been able to, well, you might not have really heard our reactions, but so far, I'd say the general consensus at this table is hot damn.
Yeah, very much hot damn.
Yeah.
After trying the beer, I'm thinking that this stout rolled in coconut and chocolate would be the best bet.
All right, I'm going to cut this thing in half.
Please do.
Wait, so you said this is the, what is this exactly?
It's a chocolate stout base rolled in milk and dark chocolate with toasted coconut.
Wow.
Whoa. This is just as, if not more decadent than the beer that we were just gushing on.
Wow.
And won't it pair nicely?
Oh, my goodness.
It tastes, yeah.
Mm. Do you need a minute?
Yeah.
I need new pants.
when you have a bite of that and you drink that with that Imperial Stout.
It's perfect. It's absolutely
it's
perfect.
Absolutely perfect, because neither one like overpowers the other. It's a perfect complement. My taste buds are dancing right now. Mm.
So how long until you guys get beer in here again?
Roughly about 2 months. So we're just
within 2 months, yeah.
Yeah. That's what we really like to do is, especially once we have that, we love focusing on the pairings, because there's so much that you can have one dessert and with two different beers,
right,
and it changes in the flavor of both, and it's all about the experience of, we love experiencing food and dessert and good beer and wine, versus you can go and you can get food anywhere, but it's to experience it's a whole different thing, and pairing up is a really fun way to do that.
Are you guys, the pairing kind of led me to think of something. When you guys ultimately get beer in here, are you guys either going to do it yourselves or go through the program yourselves, or are you going to have like a certified Cicerone on hand to where they're going to be able to recommend the best pairings? Because obviously, I mean, I'm sure you guys know your stuff, but it always helps to be able to say, hey, you know, I'm for sure know what pairs with what. Some people like to hear that.
Mm-hmm. We're actually going through the certification right now.
Nice.
So
awesome.
We'll be official.
We are too. All three of us are too.
I've already passed the beer server threshold.
Yeah. Yeah, that's then next, obviously, we got to become certified Cicerones.
Right.
That
one will be a challenge.
We did want the background to do that. I mean, other than telling someone, shut up and eat it, tastes good, and we wanted to be able to tell someone why. So,
yeah.
And that's something we've been starting to pursue. And we always, a lot of times, a lot of the breweries we work with like Ritual, everyone over there is certified Cicerone. Since we do a lot of events with them specifically because of our every other week dinners, they kind of keep us up on some of the pairings too. We'll kind of bounce our ideas of saying what goes well with each other, and we'll have them help us out with that.
Yeah, we actually have a full menu that pairs everything on the menu with their beer every week.
You guys are going to have like recommended pairings on the menu too?
Here, we definitely will do that. Nice. And then we'll probably have something nightly that will, or not nightly, but weekly or monthly or something that we'll have an evening out of it.
Cool. So you guys, obviously, yeah, because I know Ritual, I think they require everybody to be at least a certified beer server. I know a lot of other breweries are starting to do that as well.
Yeah, that whole program has really picked up a lot of steam and respect in the community. Because the place in Palm Springs that you guys went to, everyone there was certified
Schmitty's,
too, right?
Schmitty's Tavern, everybody was at least a certified beer server. I know that anytime you really are working as a beer server, I mean, it's nothing too, is are you guys as chefs going to be certified beer servers as well? Are they now? I mean,
Our head chef will be.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it is gaining a lot of steam. I mean, the Siebel Institute has done a great job of making sure everybody understands that this program is legit, and that if you do it, you know, you obviously know your stuff. So, I mean, that's obviously another topic, but it's nice to see that local places like this that do pair food with great desserts and great beers, and obviously you said you guys have wines too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, we'll be doing, like, champagne brunches and so forth on Sundays.
Perfect. I'm staring at some of these other cake truffles.
After the first one, I'm dying to try another.
I am too. Which one is this? Is the graham cracker one, or is this the graham cracker one?
Those are the graham cracker. Those are rolled in ground almonds.
Oh.
You can't go wrong either way.
You really can't.
I just want to grab one at random. And shove it in my face.
And that's the banana liqueur white cake center rolled in the darkened milk chocolate and rolled in the graham
banana?
Cracker.
We like to roll the cake truffles in dark and milk chocolate, so you get the bitter and the sweet.
Mm. You said this is banana with white cake and milk and dark chocolate rolled with graham crackers.
Correct.
This just sounds like awesome mixed with excellent and then some terrific, then rolled up and just phenomenal. That's what I heard. I mean, that's not might not be what you said, but that's what I heard.
I like how you say it better.
It is. This is just honestly. It's completely on a different plane from what we just tried.
That was the Malibu rum ball, is what we call it, but the cake truffle. But
yeah, it's all.
But it's a chocolate stout cake with the toasted coconut.
Very different. But it still pairs really nicely with a beer like this.
Oh yeah.
I mean, these are real decadent desserts, and they're pairing very nice with this beer.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even a huge sweets guy, to be honest. I mean, you look at me. I weigh like 130.
I think that microphone weighs more than you.
Yeah, probably. I'm not a big sweets guy. I'm not a big eater by any means. But I am pigging out on these things right now.
Yeah, this is awesome. I mean, this is phenomenal.
Well,
awesome.
And everything we do, we try and make it so we can take out to events at the breweries or beer festivals. So they won't melt. As you see, it has chocolate on it, but it still holds up. So we'll be able to take it out to these festivals or events, and people will still be able to enjoy them while they're outside, especially in Southern California, where it's 110 degrees in the middle of August.
That's great forethought, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they can enjoy it in here in the nice air conditioning building. The nice glass of beer.
So I have one quick question. I'm sure you guys get asked this a lot. Maybe you have an answer, maybe you don't. What's each one of your favorite menu items that you guys make? You can do food
today?
Or dessert, or anything, any day. What's your guys' favorite, your personal favorite?
Yeah.
Currently, dessert, the Blackberry Delight, which that's my personal favorite. It's a blackberry port wine reduction over a mascarpone frangelico cream and a brownie bottom. That's actually gluten-free. You wouldn't know it to taste it, but it's really good. And then my current favorite food item is probably our chicken sausage slider. I'm a big garlic fan, and we use a Belgian ale, spicy garlic aioli. It goes on top of that with roasted red peppers and our house-made chicken sausage patties. And that's kind of my current favorite one. Mm-hmm. How about you, kid?
Wow.
Mine is going to be the peanut butter cup, which is a brew cup. It's going to be an IPA shortbread cookie, a peanut butter mousse, and a chocolate ganache layered. And then and then we're also, for the food item, we just started doing this southwestern corn quesadilla. And it has like jalapenos, corn, roasted red pepper, pepper jack, and cheddar cheese with a lime tequila sauce. So that one's been really popular, and I've thoroughly been enjoying it. It has a chipotle barbecue sauce paired with that.
I think I actually saw you guys post a picture of that on your guys' Facebook recently, and I was like, ah, wait, so come down there and get that now? sounded awesome. It sounded awesome. We've got one more cake truffle to try. I've already hesitated too long.
It's going to be the amaretto with a white cake, and then it's going to be rolled in a graham cracker crust.
I think this is actually my favorite one.
Really?
I think so. This is really good. It was either this one or the...
I'm digging the first one.
Probably because it has a stronger liquor taste.
The first one, I think, was either the Imperial Stout one or this one. Because, yeah, it is, the Amaretto is great in this. But it's I really like the ground almond texture, though. Mm-hmm. It's very smooth and goes in. It's really nice. I like that a lot. That's very good.
Two that you can really taste the alcohol in is this Amaretto Cake Truffle. The other one is going to be our Vanilla Bourbon Cream Puff. Mm. We have three different kinds of cream puffs, but the Vanilla Bourbon, you can definitely taste it in. It still does cook out, but it's there.
So we're not going to get drunk eating these?
Unfortunately, no. Unless you're pairing it with alcohol.
So it's a family friendly.
It is kid friendly.
Get a good sugar buzz going.
Right.
So, I mean, as much as we like to say, like, we're all, I mean, obviously, I know I'm a foodie. I'm sure you guys are foodies as well. Chris doesn't really look like he eats at all, so I don't know.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I can put it away when I want to.
But, I mean, overall, I mean, we are obviously Beer Geek Radio, so we do like to focus on the beer. Obviously, these guys are going to be serving beer pretty soon. But so that leads into one of my next questions. What are some of the specific beers you guys use commonly in your guys' recipes from around here?
Sure. We use the Black Beauty Stout from Packing House in our chocolate stout products. We use it honestly just depends on the seasonal fruit that's available to us, because we do as local as possible. So we take a lot from Jaceno Farms, that's actually right across the street from us, which is nicely. So the Hop-O-Matic from Ritual we've been using. We've also used, the Red from Ritual. We've also used Inland Empire's Brown Ale for our Cracker Jack. That one right now is discontinued, but we will bring that back. The Victoria from Inland Empire. What else?
Now that we're getting more and more, the Fat Hog. Obviously, for logistic purposes, a lot of the stuff we use consistently in a lot more volume ends up being the ones that are in real close proximity to us. Dale Brothers, things like that. We've done a lot more events when we'll be prepped to do something like with
Anaheim Brewing is coming up. We'll be using some of their product because we're doing an event with them.
For Bootlegger's 5th anniversary, we went down there, and every product we took down there for the 5th anniversary was made with a Bootlegger beer. So sometimes for larger events, and if logistically we can make that happen, we do that. Once we have the beer as part of being part of their distribution networks, we'll be able to do that a little easier. But right now, it's whatever we can get our hands on. We try to develop a lot of the recipes from the beer back, too. So if we get, where a lot of our traditional like stouts, we use the cream stout. But if we've gotten the oatmeal stout in the Big Deluxe from Ritual, we had some of that in limited quantities. We don't just plug in, this is the stout, or this is our stout recipe, and just interchange the beer. We try to really build the recipes around what beers we have on hand. A lot of produce is available locally. So our menu kind of floats throughout the year, just depending on a couple of different factors, which people like, because you can come in here and you'll know that you're going to get, if you're wanting food, you will have some sort of beef, pork, chicken, cider, a veggie option. But the flavors specifically are able to kind of shift a little. We can say, well, we made it with this beer this time. And people that have eat here enough can actually notice some of the differences from batch to batch, just as the menu kind of floats with that.
And Chris asked you guys a question earlier about breweries that may have been a little difficult to deal with. How about some of the breweries that aren't difficult to deal with? You guys seem pretty supportive of what you guys are doing, what do you guys do? You call ahead and say, hey, we need this beer, we're making this recipe, you guys just come down and get it, or how does that work?
It depends. A lot of them that we've met at different beer festivals, we always try to make sure if we meet a new brewer, we give them the product and say, hey, try it, let me know what you think. I mean, because we really like to get the feedback. The brewer... a little more in depth than that, but the brewers, they're taking something, they're purposely building the flavor profile for whatever beer they're putting together. The same way that you're trying to build any food item or any dessert item, you're taking the specific ingredients you want, putting them together in a specific way for the results you want. A little longer process when they're making beer versus the food, but we really like their feedback, especially if we're incorporating their beers into the food. We'll ask them what malts they use, what hops they use, what flavor profiles they're expecting, what they pick out. We try to incorporate that back. So it's been really great. But once people have just gotten to know us, and we just love beer and food. And so, and that's kind of like, for me, that's kind of like that commonality in the whole brewing industry is people are in it because they love good beer, and most people love good food as well. They're in it for they have the palate to actually appreciate good food and beer.
That's nice. I mean, that's one of the things that we always preach to people about the craft beer community is that it's a community. Everyone seems very accepting of people. I mean, we've talked to people who have opened new breweries, and they've said, we've reached out to so-and-so at this brewery, and they've really helped us out in opening and getting our feet off the ground. And obviously your guys's method here in terms of making food and beer that center on craft beer, wine, and spirits, you know, it's basically relying upon that. I mean, you guys need, you know, beer and wine to operate, and for them to be accepting of that and what you guys do here is very awesome. I'm very excited to hear stuff like that.
Me too. Absolutely. No, this is, it's all a great thing. The when you compare great food with great beer and great wine, and are you guys going to be doing any kind of like hard alcohol, mixed drinks, or anything like that?
And at this time, the license we were getting in Redlands, it's a lot easier. Well, there's basically only a certain amount of hard alcohol license allowed in Redlands.
Right.
And we had to get a zoning variance for just our type of liquor license, which is strictly beer and wine.
Okay.
And honestly, since there's really no local hard distilled spirits producers, we didn't really go that way just because we really wanted to focus on the craft beer industry, which is the people that we can work with on a constant basis. And it allowed us to have a lot more of that local approach and support that we really wanted to stick with.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, we won't be carrying any of the drinks, but we still work with the hard alcohol in our products, like the spiced rum and with the macaroons. I'm looking to, you know, we do like the cherry sangria. I'm looking to do like a sidecar. You know, I'm looking to incorporate that with something. So there will be some products like that, but we're just not going to actually serve the drinks.
Cool. Yeah, it makes sense.
It's a nice workaround, actually.
Yeah. I mean, with wine and beer, you guys are going to have plenty of opportunities to mix and match stuff. I mean, there's so much out here. I mean, even like we've been saying, local breweries alone, Redlands is about to get their fourth one. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, the Inland Empire is a booming region for craft beer. I mean, there's ones that are opening up in Ontario and Chino, and now another one in Redlands. You guys have already got, we've already got, what, Ritual, Hangar 24, Donkey Punch. What's the fourth one?
Escape, Craft Escape.
That's right. And they're opening up pretty soon?
I have no idea.
I think they're in the process right now. They're doing the working on the build-out. So they're still a ways out. They're, from what I've seen, they're a half block from both Ritual and Donkey Punch. So
yeah, the same complex, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So you have three breweries in a couple hundred feet.
And then Ukaipa, June 22nd.
Yep. Yeah, well, obviously, everybody who follows us knows about Brew Rebellion. They're opening up. They finally got their clearance to open. They're gonna have their grand opening on June 22nd.
Brewcakes will be there.
Yeah, Brewcakes is going to be there. We're actually going to be broadcasting on location from that place, too. Brewcakes is going to be there. Obviously, all the founders are going to be in the house.
Yeah. So if any listeners want to come out and say hi and meet us and have a drink with us, June 22nd, we'll be there.
Absolutely. And it's going to be a great craft beer and great food on deck. Obviously, you guys have gotten an idea to hear what we're eating dessert-wise. These guys have given you guys a quick rundown of some of the food they make, sandwiches and flatbreads, and then obviously that delicious quesadilla that just I hasn't left my mind yet. I'll have it eventually. But, you know, it's been great. I think it's been a really big privilege for us to be able to finally come down here because, obviously, you know, we've been friends with you guys for a little while, and you know, you guys have been open for a few years. We've been doing this for a while, so it's great to finally be able to come down here. Honestly, to our listeners, I recommend definitely coming down here and checking them out because, I mean, they're very hospitable. They're very awesome people. As you guys have heard, they have the best intentions with mixing great food and great beer and great wine.
And keeping it all local, too.
Keeping it all local. I mean, how does it get better than that? I don't know if it does.
No, I don't think it doesn't. And it doesn't get better than those cake ball things.
Cake
I
truffles?
Want another one. Yes, that. Exactly.
We've already kind of cut into the Imperial Stout one, the second one, so go ahead and take a piece. Before we wrap, I do want to give you guys the opportunity, if you guys have any events or anything coming up, or if you guys have anything new coming out for Brewcakes that you haven't already talked about, I'll give you guys the open mic, the floor. You guys can talk to our audience, say whatever you want.
Sure. As far as new products, the cake truffles are a brand new item, and so are the cherry sangria pies. So those are individually portioned, so you'll be able to get that. As far as new events, next weekend, on the 14th, we will be at, on State Street. We have what's called Surfin' State Street. We'll be there from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. And then on the 15th, we'll be at the Corona Mud Run, and then also at the Elks Club in Moreno Valley for the car show. So those are the two new events coming up. And then on the 29th, we have Packing House Brewgrass Festival.
Right. And we'll also be doing the food and desserts for the Pint Night at Packing House on the 14th.
Okay.
Yes. And so then you guys
also, you guys also, like you said, every other Friday at Ritual too, right?
Yes.
Right. People can come enjoy Ritual's beer and some of your guys' awesome food.
We post all of our events on Facebook and also on our website. So if you guys wanted to check that out, that's brewcake.com.
And you guys, obviously, you said Facebook. You guys are also on Instagram, Twitter, too?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, so you guys can follow up with all the great food and desserts. You've got plenty of outlets to do so. So no excuses not to. And then, obviously, too, if you just like seeing pictures of awesome-looking food, I mean,
oh yeah,
that's what I love. I mean, I know, really. Obviously, as you guys heard, we're going to be, we've got some fun, exciting events coming up. Next weekend, we're going to be broadcasting on location from Haven Gastro Pub in Pasadena. We're going to have Will D and Brian Thorson on as guests. Brian Thorson is formerly of Drake's Brewing.
Oh, okay.
And then the weekend after that, we're going to join Brew Cakes, Brew Rebellion, and the Founder Society for Brew Rebellion's grand opening. And I think I can honestly say, Chris, you've known them a while. I've known them a while.
Yeah.
It's about damn time.
Oh, it's going to be a huge party.
It's about time.
We're going to tear down Ucaipa.
They're going to close them down on Sunday.
Yep, probably. So get there while you can.
Yeah. And then we've got the For What Ails You event. Tickets are already on sale. Obviously, bottle share, live music, food. We got a chance to see the live music perform last night at Lake Alice in Riverside. It's Gravity Guild. They really kicked ass. So we're going to really tear the house down, too, on Saturday, August 31st for the What Ails You event.
Are there any of those special bottles still? I know the 66th ticket purchase was supposed to get a 666 provided by Andy Sutphin, Vertical Epic from Stone. And then somebody else put up a Dark Lord, right, for the 100th ticket sold?
Yeah.
Are those both still available?
Yeah, as far as I know, those are both still up for grabs. We're going to have some really kick-ass beers to raffle. For those people who pay attention, we've already got the entire woodcut set 1 through 6 is going to get raffled. The brewery anniversary, Papier through Bois, will get raffled. I've got a Bourbon County Vertical 07 to 12 is going to get raffled.
Lots of good stuff.
We're going to have a lot of great prizes. There's going to be good food and just perfect opportunity to get to know some people and drink some great beer. So that's what we're about.
Yeah.
And that's what you guys are about too. So it's been a privilege to have you on. Like I said, we're on Brew Cakes. This is Sarah and CJ. They own the place. They kick ass, make great food, and enjoy great beer. So come down and check them out.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's been a privilege. Thanks, guys. And obviously, you guys know who I am. I'm your host. My name is Brad.
And this is Chris, not Steven.
And you guys can find us also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, and you can track our alcoholism on Untappd.
Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah, let's just call it what it is. And it's not, not in a bad sense.
No,
but
not an adult
beverage enthusiast.
There you go. We're just aficionados. So, all right, we'll see you guys next week, as we said, on location from Haven Gastro Pub. And we say cheers and come out to Brew Cakes and enjoy some delicious desserts and beer.
Cheers.